Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
For Jake Moody.
And you turn it over and Detroit's got it at the 48-yard line because you missed a 58-yarder. Yeah. But
just go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. And then you might get it, and then you get a touchdown out of it, although he probably would have then settled for a field goal a little bit later on a fourth and short. Yeah, just, that's what he does.
One quick postscript on your special teams. The Niners did climb up to 31st in the league in net punt average.
Wow.
Up from 32nd.
So their name? O'Donnell?
O'Donnell, yeah. Neil
better
O'Donnell.
Better than Wischnowski, huh?
Yeah, I think so.
You're out on Wischnowski. Yeah. I know that. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube. Powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And it is now time. Let's go out to the River Islands guest line because it's time for Cleared to Play, where we take you inside the tent and get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay. Proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment and bring in Dr. Brian Feely. Doc, happy holidays, happy new year. Thanks for taking out the time as always. Good to catch up with you. How you doing?
Pretty good. Happy new year to you guys.
Yeah, appreciate that. We've just been talking a little bit about the Niners, so I figure we can start there. A scare for the Niners quarterback, Brock Purdy, dealing with another right elbow issue. He heard it late in the game on Monday night. It does seem like the 49ers dodged a major bullet. It's not a UCL tear. It doesn't seem to be a thing that's going to maybe keep him out for the offseason or anything like that. But what can you tell us about what he's going through and kind of how scary it is for fans to deal with a quarterback who's now had multiple injuries to the same right elbow?
Yeah, I think if you look at the mechanism of his original injury, he had a classic mechanism for an ulnar collateral ligament or UCL tear where his arm was hyperextended. You could see how his ligament would tear. This injury on Monday was much more subtle. It was more like he banged his funny bone, which sounds like an over-exaggeration. Why is somebody going to be out for banging their funny bone? But when you have this surgery, your ulnar nerve, which is what gets bumped when you hit your funny bone, can cause your little finger and your ring finger to essentially go to sleep. So that's what he was describing as, my hand and elbow felt like they were on fire. So you can't grip a football, and it can sometimes take a few weeks till it feels like it feels all the way better. So no structural damage, which is great, but it can take a few weeks for that nerve to feel like it's fully recovered. And honestly, the season's over. There's no real reason to play him.
And in terms of the actual injury, the UCL injury, now that we're a full year plus removed from, or just about a year removed from the incident itself, does it become less likely that there's re-injury as opposed to an average person who hasn't had that injury?
Yeah, it's a great question. For baseball pitchers, we know that even when they've had an UCL reconstruction or repair, they are still at slightly higher risk than the normal pitching population of a recurrent injury, largely due to mechanics. In football players, it's just too rare of an injury. The person before Brock Purdy to have this, ironically, was Nick Mullins after he played for the 49ers. So there's just not that many people that have this in the NFL. The assumption is that this is a bad luck injury. It's not something that is overuse. It's not something just by throwing. It's a traumatic injury. So at this point, the ligaments healed. He's obviously had essentially one great season, one really, really good season without his weapons around him. So we shouldn't expect this to be a recurring problem.
Good news there, and I think the reason why so many Niner fans are concerned is because, one, the history of that elbow, and two, because the Niners have to make a decision this offseason about Brock Purdy's future as it relates to a contract extension. One other player they have to consider their future with is Dre Greenlaw, who, as we know, tore his Achilles nearly a year ago now in the Super Bowl, returned a couple of weeks ago, looked great for half a game, then came out, played like a snap or two the following week. In Miami, hasn't played since and has been since shut down with what the Niners are calling a calf injury. How worried should we be about this calf injury following the Achilles tear surgery repair and rehabilitation process? And how might that calf injury impact the Niners' decisions on Greenlaw this offseason?
Yeah, I think it's hard to say. The more time you give anybody away from an injury and surgery, the more healing you're going to have, the more time you're going to have to recover from any injury process. So I think overall, we clearly showed what happens when Dre Greenlaw isn't out this year. We don't play as well on defense. There seemed to be enough times where Fred Warner seemed like he was missing Dre Greenlaw next to him. Now, in terms of when he gets his calf strain, for him, that was almost like a preseason game in that he hadn't played for an extended period of time and he goes in and gets a calf strain. That's typically when we see calf strains and hamstring strains in the NFL, is in the preseason and in the first few weeks of the regular season. So most likely they can treat this as a separate injury. We know that the return to play rate from Achilles injuries in that 25 to 32 year old range in the NFL is pretty good. So I don't know how much it would really affect contract talks, other than it's something that one side will bring up, the other side will say it's not a big deal.
Brandon Ayuk had a torn ACL and an MCL, and he had surgery in early November. What would be the prognosis for a pretty standard return to play for a wide receiver at his age in the NFL?
So he's young. He's half the age of the rest of us. So his prognosis is pretty good. When you look at any skill position, receiver, running back, quarterback coming back to the NFL, typically we're looking at a solid 9 months before returning to contact. Any sooner is rare. Usually get some drills around 8 months, but return to play is around 9 months, because going back any sooner, no matter how good of an athlete you are, is a much higher risk of re-injury. When you look at performance that first year back, it's usually not quite as good, but pretty close to where you were the season before. So you can expect he's not going to be quite as good as he was maybe the Super Bowl season, but kind of where he was this year, which was decent, maybe not amazing, but then he should build into it. In the second year back, he should be better.
Doc, I want to transition to the Warriors here for just a second. Steph Curry and Draymond Green both on the injury report tonight. First of all, on Draymond Green, he's probable with a low back contusion. That injury necessarily maybe not all that concerning. I mean, he's probable, should play tonight, but it's more of a season-long thing. He's been on the injury report a lot, and there's been all the conversations about how the Warriors might need him to play more minutes at five at the center spot, but he might not be something he wants to do considering the toll on his body. Is there anything the Warriors can do other than rest and limited minutes at the five to kind of ease him through some of these minor nagging injuries that he's going through?
No, I think we've seen, particularly in the NBA, that as players reach their early and mid-30s, Draymond's 34 years old now, having that load management is really important. And a back contusion is different than the other things that he's dealt with in his low back. He's had some essentially disc issues. This is more just a bruise in your back, but you can't jump as well. You can't bend forward as well. He's not going to want to dive on the ground nearly as much as if he didn't have a contusion. And the answer, as it is for many of these players in the NBA, is effective load management. Avoid the back-to-back games. Get a little bit more rest whenever you can, when the Warriors are up by a lot or down by a lot, so that you're preserving yourself for a long season.
And Steph, right now, dealing with a right thumb sprain, and he's got that nagging knee tendonitis, bilateral, I believe. Both the knees are kind of barking at him. What is capable or what's able for him to do to try to make it through this tough time?
You know, same thing with tendonitis, which we don't have a great handle on exactly why it happens other than overuse. The answer is usually an extended period of rest, which Steph isn't going to take. If you're an everyday athlete, we would typically say it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks to get back onto feeling where you feel good enough to go for a run, play basketball with your friends. If you're Steph Curry in the middle of the season, you're going to get enough time to maybe get an extra night off to feel a little bit better, but he's probably going to feel it all season. How much does it affect his performance? There's not usually a structural issue with tendonitis. It's more inflammation and a little bit of tendon degeneration. So he should be able to play through it unless it gets really bad. And then he may need an extended rest period, which, you know, with the All-Star game coming up, even though it's in the Bay Area, he should get a little bit more time off during then.
Mm, good stuff. Appreciate the time as always, Doc. We'll catch up with you next time. Thanks as always. And again, Happy New Year.
All right. Happy New Year, guys.
All right, there's Doc Feely here. It's Cleared to Play, brought to you by UCSF Health. Again, the proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. It's Grandy and Dibs in on Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It's kind of what we were talking about to begin the show, Dibs. You need as much help more than ever for Steph and Draymond. One, because they're getting up there and they're just not as good as they once were. Two, because they can't play as often as they once could. And yet the Warriors are getting less help than ever from the supporting cast.
Right, and the idea of, you know, Steph dealing with a tendonitis, and Doc said it perfectly, where you don't really have a solution for it other than rest. And, you know, you can do cortisone and whatnot, which I do in my bad knee, my crooked leg, but for me, it's only every 6 months, and you get 2 or 3 months are really good, and I'm kind of in that 3 month period of good, and then after the first 3 months, it starts to go south on you. So if you're Steph and you're trying to do high level basketball things with two knees with tendonitis, you can only do so much. You can't go to the needle all the time, and you know football players get Toradol, which is a super duper triple pain reliever, but it's not really good for your body to do that over and over. And now Steph has the thumb as well, and Draymond's got the lower back soreness, and I can understand why he doesn't want to play the five all the time. And basically the reality of being an athlete, a pro athlete in your mid to late 30s, you're going to have to deal with this stuff, and if you don't have other players stepping up to help you, you're going to lose games because of it.
Yeah, the latest injury report from the NBA, Draymond is still probable with the left low back contusion. Stephen Curry is still questionable with the right thumb sprain. Also on the injury report, Kyle Anderson, questionable with an illness. Nothing to worry about there, but a couple guys are out. GP2 still with the left calf strain. Brandon Pajemski dealing with that abdominal tightness. He is also out for this game tonight for the Warriors.
And that is probably the one that's most troubling because, you know, you deal with the ab stuff and obliques, as we know, we've seen from many other athletes, whether it's baseball, basketball, or football. And if you've got an oblique strain or a muscle issue, you can't do anything twisting or reaching or jumping or stooping or bending, let alone taking charges like Pods does. So that's one of those ones where you got to wait and let it quiet all the way down.
Yeah, not good. We got the 415 on the Comcast Business text line. Wanted us to ask Doc, how many millimeters of Toradol did the Niners burn through this season? Probably a lot.
Yeah, you would figure.
And maybe only the Lions more.
Well, and you told, or you heard Trent Williams talk about it before, how he was, you know, he was taking the needle for as much as he could, and then he had the personal off-field tragedy that sidelined him, and then you got to the spot where the season was going to be lost anyway.
What's
so,
the point?
Yeah, just go ahead and put the needle away and, you know, come back next year.
Yeah. All right, time for a quick break. When we come back, we can get back into the Warriors. The question we've been playing with all day here on Willard and Dibs. A tough year for the Warriors, the Niners, the Giants. What's one thing each of those teams need to do this year to ensure 2025 is better than 2024? We'll take your calls and texts on that. 888-957-9570. More Willard and Dibs with Grandy in for Willard next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
That's a great question.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
So many great voices in that one.
Yeah.
I think the first one was Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr tomorrow.
Okay.
Here on Willard and Dibs.
Man, I hope they win tonight. Yeah.
Yeah. They need a win. They haven't been below 500 all year, Dibs.
Yeah. Well, they were 12-3. And normally when you start 12-3 and you get 17 games down the road, you're, 22-14 or whatever it would be. And, yeah. Wow.
There's only one instance in NBA history, I think, where a team that started 12-3 finished the season, didn't make the playoffs. And I think there's no instances of where a team started 12-3 and finished below 500.
Wow. Save that for tomorrow. That'll be a fun one for them if they lose tonight.
I'll confirm the stat.
Okay.
I have it buried away somewhere. I'll have to go and find it exactly.
I mean, that is surprising to me because 12-3 is a good start, but that's only 15 out of 82. You got 67 more, and you could suffer a calamity, and I won't even put a name to what that calamity would be, but if you do suffer a calamity of any real, I guess, measure, you could have that 12-3 go south on you, and it could get really bad, but wow.
What makes the Warriors turn around in a bad way so concerning is they haven't had that kind of calamity. They've had some issues crop up, and we always point to the D'Anthony Melton injury as kind of the turning point, but he wasn't important enough to be the sole reason why everything has gone downhill. It's kind of been a mix of things. But it would be easier to understand if, say, all right, your best player hadn't played in 2 months. You're going to lose a lot of basketball games. But Steph has largely been available. Draymond has largely been available. Wiggins has been available. Kuminga's only missed 2 games. Like, your most important pieces, Dibs, have been available almost night after night after night. And yet, you have lost 13 of your last 17 games.
Right, and you've done it in kind of a similar fashion night after night, where your offense has gone from really good to, quite frankly, really bad.
Very
bad. And the game against Cleveland might be the nadir so far, or the low point.
Shout out, Ralph.
Yeah. Put it in, that would be nadir, but I'll give you 3 for that because it's an effort and it's before your time. But the nadir is the opposite of the apex. It's the low point. It's what you would consider rock bottom. And I don't know if this is rock bottom. I kind of hope it is. But when you shoot 33% from the floor, and I looked at the numbers after the game, and there was 4 for 11, there was 3 for 10, there was 5 for 13. I mean, everybody, almost bar none. I think there was one guy, and it might have been TJD. I think Kuminga shot less than 50%. Everybody shot really, really poorly, and you start to think about it like from a longer sample. Steph has been good most of the time, but there have been games where he's been a little bit off. He had the game where he actually didn't make a basket earlier in this stretch.
In Memphis.
And, right.
51-point loss.
Right. So there, it's been more than just a small sample of this offense being bad. And now you look at points per game, which I know is not a pure elite advanced metric, but it's ultimately one of the most important things is to score points in the association. And I think they're now 17th or 18th.
Yeah, I think the only thing that determines a win or a loss is if you scored more or less than your opponent did.
Right. So you can be a bad offensive team and still be good if you're a very good defensive team, but they're not that. They're slightly above average on defense, and they're slightly now below average on offense.
They were elite at both for the first 15. They've been terrible offensively for the last 17. They've been all right defensively for the last 17. They're still a top half of the league defense, but you're right. They are they're bordering on to very bad offensively, and it hasn't been enough. Anthony Slater earlier today on the Morning Rose with Bonte and Spadoni in for Shasky, talking about the Warriors and who they are right now.
They honestly haven't been average in the last few weeks. They've been well below average. I mean, their offense is basically like Wizards Hornets level. I do believe that they are play in, you know, maybe with the right move, with kind of, you know, an improving rotation, just better shooting percentages from guys historically who can, that they could maybe bump up towards six seed type, which is to me is the goal, right? You know, get in the playoffs, firmly in the playoffs, but I don't think they're there right now. But they're, I mean, who are they? They're a fading giant that, you know, is in year four of like kind of a slow fade, while also obviously trying to build up this younger core below them, and they're struggling a little bit to do that. So, I mean, we kind of all know who they are because they've kind of been this for a while now. Right.
They're struggling a little bit to do that, to build up the
fading
younger core.
Giant is what he called them.
I mean, he's not wrong, and they've been slowly fading for 4 years. And everything I hear from Slater, great on the Warriors beat from The Athletic, also part of the Odyssey family here with his podcast, Warriors Plus Minus. Check it out on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nice.
Everything I hear Slater say, it's accurate, and I agree. But it leads my mind only in one direction. That's why you got to do something to change. Otherwise, if you just stand idly by, it's going to continue to get worse and worse and worse, and you're going to force Steph to close out his career playing on terrible basketball teams for like the last 5 years of his career in the NBA.
Well, that's a little bit of a stretch, depending on, you know, how far back you want to go. They were champions just a couple of years ago, and that was, what, 2022? So that
Correct.
Would now be 3 years. If they don't win it this year, that'd be three straight years with no title. And two more years of Steph after this, and I do think that you have a better chance at improving your roster in the offseason than you do at the trade deadline, which is 5 weeks from today. We're inside of 5 weeks because the deadline is not 4:24 Pacific time and five Thursdays from now, but if you want to think about a move to make, I don't know if there's a move that you can make in the next 5 weeks that get you from what Anthony was describing, which is a play-in team. Maybe a six seed is the ceiling right now.
He said a six seed is the goal.
Yeah.
But they're having a hard time doing that.
Well, and if you look at the standings right now, there are clearly five teams in the West. And if you want to put the Clippers, there are three teams that are elite ahead of everyone. But I look at, you know, Denver and Dallas, who I think they're both better than you. You've had trouble with the Clippers. And then you get down into Lakers. Minnesota has had your number. Then the Spurs, and then you. And I think that when you start to look at the West in that middle tier, in Oklahoma City, they are far and away the best team in the West. I'm not sure if Memphis can sustain or Houston. Those are younger teams who haven't really, quote, done it. But I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt through almost half the season now. They've been that team. And if you're the Warriors and you're 16-16 and you started out 12-3, that means you've lost 13-17. So can you turn it around? And Steph did say that in his quote. He talked about, you know, you're just a couple of good weeks away from getting right back in it, but you're also a couple more bad weeks away from kind of being out of it.
Yeah, well, let's hear from Steph. This was postgame on Monday against the Cavs, that game at home when the Warriors' offense was nowhere to be found. Here's Steph Curry postgame Monday.
How did kids say it? We're very mid right now. We're just very average. I think we understand that better days can be ahead if, you know, you're not in that big of a hole in the Western Conference. If you look at the standings, we go on a 5-6 game run. To us, that sounds like a lot, but it is like the numbers, you can make up a lot of ground pretty quickly. You know, it's a tough task, but that fine line between losing hope and confidence and understanding, you know, one good week, you're kind of back in it. That's where we are.
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like
he's down. He's down. You'd expect him to be down. They've lost 13-17, and I'm trying to rack my brain to think about a healthy time in his career where he's gone through this. And we all remember the year that they basically, they didn't tank. They were just terrible.
2019-2020.
Thank you. Yeah, it was pandemic. And, you know, Steph was hurt, and Draymond got hurt and stopped playing, and Clay wasn't back yet. And it was Eric Paschal and Jordan Poole yo-yoing between the G League and the big club. And
Kai Bowman.
Yeah.
Glenn Robinson III.
That team didn't tank. They
Marquise
were just terrible.
Chris.
All that. Your memory is incredible, and I love that about you. But I'm trying to remember a time.
Damian Lee.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I got right now.
And was that Kelly Oubre or was that pre-Oubre?
No, the next year
he
was
came
Oubre.
The next year, okay.
Yeah.
You're better at this than I am, but I was just trying to think about...
Kelly Oubre in town tonight for the Sixers.
Oh, I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
I can't remember a time in Steph's career where they lost 13-17 when he was, as you said, mostly healthy. And that's why you hear him the way he is. And he's down. I mean, he's down and... Steve Kerr is down, and Draymond, he's barking at Buddy Hield and all the rest of it because they don't have the answer. There is no answer. And you can talk about a trade, and that may or may not help, and you can stand pat, and that probably won't help. I just don't know what the answer is.
You bring up a good word or a good phrase. You don't know what the answer is. Steph was later asked post-game on Monday the most addressable issue with the offense, and you will hear this question, and then you will hear Steph not have an answer.
Independent of just making shots, what do you think is like the not necessarily biggest issue with the offense, but the most easily addressable issue?
If I had those answers, I would think we wouldn't be asking that question because we'd be able to figure it out on the floor. So I don't know. Everybody, I think first thing you think of is turnovers. I think tonight it wasn't that big of a problem. It was just literally the ball wasn't going to basket, layups, mid-range, threes, pretty much everything. Last game against Phoenix, there was that stretch in the second quarter where I had turnovers. Like, that's something you can address. Each game's a little different, but the solution, I'd have no idea.
I mean, it sounds like someone who's out of answers, does not know what the next step is, does not know how to right the ship as currently constructed. I don't know how we can hear Steph Curry talk like that, Dibs, and think that this is a team that is just going to stand pat and not do much to try to improve the roster. I know, like, using the phrase, like, Steph deserves another shot, it's kind of a little cliched. But he desperately needs the help. And we get so hung up on, well, you're mortgaging the future if you go out and try to help Steph win now. And maybe it's all for naught, because even if you get somebody in here, are they even going to be a championship contender? I mean, you're not allowed to trade consecutive first-round picks.
Right.
You're at the very least going to have a first-round pick every other year. And plus, are we that concerned about the Warriors and their picks? They haven't done a very good job of making first-round picks for a while now. I don't know.
I don't know about that. I mean, Kuminga at 7, you know, the jury's somewhat still out, but he's been a pretty good player, I think. And Moody at 14, you gave him an extension. He was a lottery player.
When was the last time Moody's played meaningful minutes?
It's funny you say that, because I need to apologize to Moses in... that I said nobody shot the ball well against Cleveland. He actually was 7-for-8 in that game.
Garbage time hero.
Some of it was garbage time, but Steph was asking, you know, or he was asked the question.
Take me out to the ball game. What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
So, I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
About offensively, what do you do? And it's as simple as this. Make a shot. And if you look at their numbers,
they can't make a shot.
They are 27th, Mark, in the league, in the association, in field goal percentage. They're shooting 44%. Not from three, from the floor. Only the Pelicans and the Hornets are worse. They're tied with the Rockets, who happen to be a very good defensive team, so they can get away with the fact that they don't shoot it very well. And from three, the Warriors are, they're 17th. They're mid. So the one thing that they've always been best at, now they're 17th, and I don't want to just single out Buddy Hield, but I looked at his December numbers.
Oh,
in
man.
13 games, he's averaging 8.5 points a game, 30% from three, 36 from the floor in 22 minutes. He's become largely unplayable because he's lost his confidence. He's Jake Moody. Forget Moses Moody. He's Jake Moody. Buddy Moody is what we should be calling him.
To the point where Draymond Green on Saturday in the win over the Suns, when I think he went 0-for-7 all from downtown,
yep.
Draymond on the court, well, just off the court, in front of the bench, called him out in front of everybody, in front of cameras, saying, like, wake the F up or sit the F down. And that's Draymond's way of trying to motivate and to lead, and you might have a problem with it. It's what he's done his entire career here. But that's how bad it's been for Buddy Hield.
Yeah.
You don't have anybody that can make a shot. Even Steph is going through a shooting slump right now. Like, yeah. It is bad across the board for just about everybody except for Kuminga.
Yeah, and Draymond's message actually landed. It landed. I give him credit because Buddy actually came out and made a basket in the next game.
What'd he go, 1-for-8?
Correct. Correct. So, I mean, the Draymond shakeup, man, it paid immediate dividends. Buddy Hield in his last four games is 2-for-21 from three. 2-for-21. And you go back to the beginning of the year, 5-of-7, 7-of-9. He had a 1-of-11, fine. 7-of-11, 4-of-12, 6-of-10. He was lighting the league up in the early going. And then since then, this December has not been a December to remember. And then you look elsewhere. All right, Dennis Schroeder, the new addition. Shout out Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. He's come in, Dennis Schroeder, and he's been flatly bad. And Draymond said, right when the acquisition was announced, yeah, we need to adjust to Dennis. Well, if you've adjusted to Dennis, he hasn't really done much to help you. And Pods has been inconsistent. Moody can't find the court. And all the rest of it. This team is, they're so broken in so many ways, and offensively they've been really bad. You would at least think, all right, let's come in there and lock teams down defensively, and maybe we can get away with it. But the defense has slipped as well.
They have so many problems, Dibs. Like, you could plug a hole here, you could plug a hole there, they're still going to have a number of issues.
And that's why I look at the deadline, and I think that all your issues are not fixable by a trade or trades at the deadline. So I'm not saying you just ride it out and you go 30-52 and you have a forgettable year, but I just don't know if the fix is there in the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's hard to find a single move that vaults them into championship contention, but I don't know, the way I look at it, Dibs, is you have to try. You got to be desperate and you got to try something. I don't I don't necessarily care if it means trading away two first-round picks, a first-round pick in 2027 and another in 2029. Like, if that's what it's got to be to get somebody in here to make the team better and to at least give yourself an improved chance, you got to do it. I don't know what other choice you have. You can't. The worst thing you could possibly do is just hang out and not do anything on either side. I've seen some texts come in on the Comcast business text line. Screw all this talk about buying at the deadline. You got to sell. Trade Steph, trade Draymond, move on, and begin the rebuild now. One, I don't think that's ever going to happen.
No, although I
can see the logic. If your goal, Dibs, is to try to minimize the amount of time between championships, you could make a case that selling your valuable pieces now is the best way to do that. It also means you will bottom out much quicker, and you will probably be much worse in the short term than if you don't do that. But if you're trying to minimize the amount of time between championships, that might be the best way to go. But, of course, there's so many other considerations than just winning a championship.
That's what you always want.
But there are other things to worry about.
But that's a foolhardy way to look at it, to talk about minimizing time between championships, because there is no team outside of San Antonio that has been able to have that sort of a gap in talk about championships. Now, the Lakers are different because the Lakers have gone from Kobe, and then they got LeBron. They went from Magic to Kobe to LeBron, and the Lakers were able to do things in a woebegone, bygone era to go from one championship era to another. San Antonio did it because their star player got hurt. You got the number one pick in the right year, and you got one of the 20 best players in the history of the game in Tim Duncan. So if you're the Warriors and you're thinking about minimizing time between championships, that is the epitome of arrogance and hubris, because you don't get to trade Steph and Draymond, get a bunch of picks, and just reload the dynasty. It doesn't work that way. And Steiny and Evan earlier had a funny one, a hypothetical about, you know, if you could trade Steph and you would get the guaranteed number one pick and get Cooper Flagg, would you do it? And you'd be assuming that, like, Cooper Flagg is going to be the next Steph if you would do that deal?
No, I mean, you're looking at it from you have Stephen Curry's whole career left ahead of him. Of course, if that was the case, no.
Right.
But you're talking about the last few years of Steph when he won't be as good as he was.
But you don't know if Cooper Flagg is really going to be that. Like,
but how much is the last 3 years of Steph's career worth to you? And it could be a ton.
Yeah.
But it pales in comparison to what his whole career was, of course.
Well, what if you could, and I'll just throw this out before we go to the phones. I know a lot of people are on hold and they want to talk, but
888-957-9570.
If you could trade Steph right now for Victor Wembanyama.
Absolutely.
You would do that.
In a heartbeat.
And ride with Wemby.
Sorry, Steph, you are the greatest Warrior ever. You will always be the greatest Warrior ever, but that is the ticket to winning another championship, Wembanyama.
It could be. I mean, it could be. It also,
the Spurs would never do that in a million years.
Of course, I'll put it that way. And this is where it becomes interesting to me, because everybody who wants to trade Steph, nobody wants to look at the hard reality of, A, what could you get back? Because if we all say that Steph is a diminishing asset, other teams know that too. So they're not going to give you Wembanyama or Anthony Edwards or Gilgeous Alexander. You're not going to get a young star from another team. You're going to get a middling star or a middle-aged star, or you're going to get a bunch of picks and hope you hit on them.
Or a young guy who's shown some promise but hasn't fully turned into somebody yet. And you hope that you hit on that guy. Similar to a draft pick, but you have a little bit more intel to go off of it. Like, that's what the Thunder got for Paul George in SGA.
Right.
And he's now probably going to win the MVP. At least so far, he's one of the leading candidates for the best team in the Western Conference. Like, it's dangerous to say, OKC did it, we can do it. Like, that was a very unique circumstance.
And Paul George was, what, 31 at the time?
Something like that.
And he still was a, you know, still in the prime of his career, and Steph Curry is not that.
You're right. And so, as Evan pointed out, the way the Clippers were viewing that was, well, if we don't get Paul George, we're also not getting Kawhi. So we think of this SGA and all these picks as for both of them, not just for Paul George.
Yeah.
OKC just happened to be the incredible beneficiary of that.
Yeah, and for me, the benefit of keeping Steph, even if it winds up more like this than it did 2022, I do think that the value at the gate, the value as a franchise, as an entertainment vehicle, is worth more than what fans maybe want to admit. And if I'm the owner or the ownership group, I'm not going to give up my number one marquee asset for future draft picks, which, as you mentioned, they haven't been super great at using first-round lottery capital.
They haven't been. The last three, Kuminga, along with Wiseman before that, and then Moses Moody, their last three lottery picks. And decent return on Kuminga, but you'd probably hope for a little bit more out of the number 7 overall pick in his fourth year in the NBA. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines, 888-957-9570. Kevin is in San Mateo and wants to join in this, on this conversation. Kevin, Happy New Year. How you doing?
Hey, Happy New Year, guys. Love your show. Before we get into this, when is your next conference when you're having all the DJs present? They did it last year across the bay someplace.
Yeah, the next summit. I think that we're hoping for a Niners postseason summit here to be determined. So keep it locked here to 95.7 The Game for all the details.
Yeah. Okay, getting into the Warriors, I'm kind of wondering, and probably half the public, I've been a fan since the 75 win season, so went through a lot of ups and downs. But with Draymond Green, how come he is self anointed to be the manager? And I bet that if he blew, I bet Kerr would not reprimand him for getting out of line with players. I'm not saying the Buddy Hield thing wasn't warranted, but where does he get off in being the second manager?
Well, Kevin, I think that's just who he is, and it's the role that he's held on this team for over a decade now. Draymond has always kind of been, one, like a coach on the court because of his basketball IQ and intellect, and he's also always been one of the most fiery competitors, and he shows that in a very vocal way. Like, Steph is also a very fiery competitor, but he doesn't do it as vocally as Draymond does. It's just kind of who he is.
Yeah, and I do think that he's been empowered internally and externally by the fact that he's got four titles and he's been there a long time, and, you know, Buddy's new on the team, and if you have any organization, you've got the coach, of course, the head coach and the front office, but then you've got player leaders, and Draymond's been that. And, you know, if it's Buddy Hield he's going to get after, you would hope that the message is properly received. And Draymond even said it. He wouldn't go to Jonathan Kuminga and deliver the same sort of a message because Kuminga isn't old enough or experienced enough to handle that in the right way.
Yeah, he can bang on tables at press conferences for Pajemski,
right,
but not for Kuminga. Yeah. No doubt. Interesting. A lot of more people want to weigh in on this. We can do that when we come back. 888-957-9570. I see you guys on hold. Hang out there through the break. We'll get to you when we come back. I also think I have the Warriors target at the trade deadline, a player who I think can help them now and set themselves up for the future. I'll tell you who that is when we come back. It's Willard and Dibbs, Grandy in for Willard. So Dibbs and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibbs. We've got more coming up next. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More Willard and Dibbs next on 95.7 The Game.
Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard today. He's off for the holiday. He'll be back coming up on Monday here on Willard and Dibbs. So it's Mark Randy and Dan Dibley with you. All guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? That includes Greg Cosell, who joined us earlier today. It also includes Steve Kerr, who will join us tomorrow, hopefully after a Warriors win. The Dubs back in action tonight at Chase Center taking on the 76ers. We'll get you ready for that game starting at 6 here on 95.7 The Game. But we have been talking a lot of Dubs. Doesn't seem, Dib, like the Warriors have an answer in-house. Kuminga taking a step forward, as he has, is a major positive development, and you hope that continues. We get another look at him tonight against a Sixers team that is playing pretty good basketball. They've kind of had the opposite season of the Warriors. Warriors started incredible and have been pretty bad since. The Sixers started like as worst as you possibly could. They're still below 500, but have been playing much better basketball of late. Two teams going in opposite directions right now, meeting at Chase Center at 7 o'clock.
It's really interesting because Philadelphia, like you said, started so poorly, and they still have underachieved, and they're still, I think, trying to get everybody back on the floor together and get Embiid and Maxey and Paul George to all be healthy at the same time. And you look at their team, and You got Drummond and so much talent, I think, across the board that they're more talented than the Golden State Warriors, certainly right now. And the Warriors are in a spot that I don't remember them being in a long, long time, where it's just almost a crisis of confidence more than anything. And you've got Buddy Hield, as mentioned, right now in such a deep, deep funk. Steph Curry, I think, is feeling more just taxation, physical pressure, and mental pressure, and Draymond's body is not responding the way he would want. Andrew Wiggins has been steady and solid, but that's about all you could ever say about him. Dennis Schroeder has been a big disappointment in his first seven games with the Golden State Warriors, and then you go further down the roster, and Pods has been looking for his shot all year. Another guy who doesn't get, I think, the love this year that he deserves because things have been so bad is Trayce Jackson-Davis.
He's been really good lately.
Like you're saying, like playing the five, rim running, rebounding, dunking. TJD has taken a couple of steps forward from last year, but it's largely been overlooked because the overall product has been so bad.
Yeah, he's been one of the few bright spots. I mean, it's been him and Kuminga mostly for the last couple of weeks that have been the Warriors' bright spots. Other than that, it hasn't really turned out to be much. The Warriors started 12-3. They're 4-13 since. The Sixers started 3-14. They're 10-4 since. So these are teams headed in opposite directions. We'll get into that a little bit more once Warriors Live starts at 6. I've got you covered for that. Tip-off coming up at 7 o'clock here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go back out to the phone lines because we're talking about how the Warriors can try to figure this thing out and take a step in the right direction and get back above 500 and stay there and turn this into a successful season. That is the challenge for the Warriors. It will not be easy. Let's see what Dale in Walnut Creek thinks as he joins us now. 888-957-9570. Dale, what do you think the Warriors should do?
I don't know what they should do exactly. You guys, a few minutes ago, mentioned the team a few years ago with Eric Paschal and, you know, some other names. The names on the current Warriors squad, the ancillary names, are bigger, but they're playing like that team from a few years ago. They're just not hitting shots. And if you don't hit shots, you're not going to do anything. Steph is, as Dib said just a second ago, he's feeling pressure because now all of the other teams can concentrate on him. He hasn't dropped off, hardly at all, maybe a hair. But he's performing not as well because the other teams know that you just stop Steph and you pretty much just stop the Warriors. We don't have, you know, a consistent second option. Kuminga is getting better. He's no Klay Thompson, old Klay Thompson. That's the problem. We don't have someone else that we can rely on. And it looked like Buddy Hield was doing it in the beginning of the season, but now we know why we got him, because he's not consistent. He never has been. It's a big problem. And, you know, when we were good, we had an absolute killer second option, who was sometimes the first option because Klay was that good and Draymond was younger. It's a problem. I don't know the solution because you've got to get somebody else who you can rely on game in and game out. And right now, the other guys are playing like that team from a few years ago. The names have changed, but the results are the same. And that's it.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Dale. Some of the names that we already threw out from that 2019-2020 team, Kai Bowman, Marquese Chris, Damian Lee, Eric Paschal, Glenn Robinson III, some of the others just for memory's sake. How about Alec Burks? What about Willie Cauley-Stein?
Wow.
Michael Mulder?
Don't forget Mike Mulder.
D'Angelo Russell? I forgot that he was on that team, of course. Yep. D'Angelo Russell.
That was about five teams ago for him.
Omari Spellman. And maybe the best one of them all, Alan Smilegeach.
Yeah, the Geach. Forgot about the Geach.
He was supposed to be the savior, Dibs.
Yep.
And it did not work out.
Kevon Looney, also
on
that
team.
Yeah. And I'm looking at some of the guys from that aforementioned year, and Alec Burks played in 48 of the, 60 Yeah, 65 games that year, because that's when they went to the bubble and the Warriors didn't go to the bubble.
Didn't qualify.
They were not bubble worthy, but Burks averaged 16 points a game for that team.
Yeah, and, he was decent.
Right, and you look at this year, and you know, you've got Kuminga averaging 16.8, and Kuminga's been more impactful to this team, but some of the comparisons I think are a little unfair because that team was full of guys who wouldn't go on to do much elsewhere, and this team is just honestly filled with underachievers. And if you look at all the players and you look at their career, Steph Curry is underachieving based on what he's done. 22 points
no
a
doubt.
Game.
Yeah.
And remember when he was potentially going to be a 50, 40, and 90 guy? Well, this year he's shooting 44% from the floor. That's a far cry from 50.
What's the number from deep?
40.1, and he's 92 from the line. So it just shows you that his overall field goal percentage is way off of his elite level. And, of course, he's almost 37. And Wiggins is having a great year. He's averaging 16.5 a game and 4 rebounds. Draymond's scoring is about where it normally is. But I look at outside of Steph, who's not played as well as he normally does, and it's interesting to note that he's, as of right now, not an all-star starter. He's currently third among guards in the Western Conference.
SGA and Luka ahead of him.
I would imagine that might change, but if you look at it, in all fairness, those guys both deserve to be all-star starters ahead of him.
Yeah, Luka's injury might play a role in that. Who knows if he's going to be ready to go. He's supposed to be out for a while. He might not be ready by the time the all-star game comes around. So maybe that is the pathway for Steph to be an all-star starter. I think the NBA will probably find a way to make him an all-star starter because it is happening in San Francisco.
Of course.
And it's kind of what the NBA does. The all-star game is more of a popularity contest than a who deserves it. And Stephen Curry, considering what he's accomplished, it's kind of like a lifetime achievement award. And Steph Curry has definitely achieved it over the course of his career.
And if sports are entertainment, then all-star games are like award shows.
Yeah.
You know, and you're not going to have a Grammy Award ceremony without Taylor Swift being nominated multiple times because people are going to watch the show to see Taylor Swift go up there, 5'10", she's a stretch four, and go up there and receive Album of the Year, whatever she's going to receive. So all of this plays into the entertainment part of it. But I just want to ask you, Grandy, when you look at the Warriors this year and you watch them as closely as anybody in this market, who is overachieving on this team?
And overachieving.
Who do you look on this Warrior team and say, man, he's playing better than I thought he'd be playing? And we're now 32 games into it, and I look at, you know, Steph and Draymond, no. Wiggins, no. I think Wiggins is playing up to where you would want him to be.
Yeah, you probably hope that this is what he could do. Not overachieving,
Kuminga,
but you're pleasantly surprised.
The only one that I could possibly throw out there would be Jonathan Kuminga. And it's been more of a recent sample where he's starting to become the player everyone wants him to be. But outside of that, Pods no, Heald no, TJD maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And then the rest of the Moody, Looney, Slow-Mo, GP2 group. I mean, nobody is playing better than you thought they would play.
This is cheating because it's not that he's playing well, it's that he's playing at all.
Pat Spence.
Lindy Waters.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't think he was going to get to play this
often. No,
that's
not cheating. That counts.
Now, he hasn't been able to make a shot lately either. He started the season off really well when he was playing and then has kind of been in and out of the rotation. He's in the rotation now, just like everybody else, can't make a shot. But I think coming into the season, I was not expecting him to play really much at all, and he's been playing.
And that's a great answer, and it kind of underscores my point, which is if you're 11th man, and no disrespect to Lindy Waters, but if your biggest overachiever is your 11th man, you got problems. I think that you're right in your answer.
And if you were to ask who's the biggest underachiever, you would have to really think about that for a long time because you could choose like 6 different guys.
Right. And it's honestly, I think the correct answer would be Steph, and it's unfair because the standard that we all have set for Steph Curry is so astronomically high that a player who is, he's having a good year by normal player standards.
But by his standards.
Right. He's, 22 a game. We're used to seeing him at 26 or 27. And as I mentioned, a field goal percentage not near 50%, but at 43.7%. We're not used to seeing that.
Yeah, so what do you do about it? That's the million-dollar question, and we'll go back out to the phone lines in just a second and try to get an answer there. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Back out to the phone lines we go. Up next is Mike in Santa Clara. Mike, what's up? You're on Willard and Dibs. Grandy in for Willard alongside Dibs. How you doing, Mike?
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.